T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker this week alongside Randy McMichael. You can find us 929 The Game, 929thegame.com, the radio.com app, wherever you find us. We're glad to have you hanging out with us today. It's time for our big clip of the day. It's brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair. Braxton Automotive bringing you today's big clip of the day.
Red Bulls now trying to get out of jail in their defensive third. Franco Escobar steps up to press. Red Bulls, though, are able to thread it through down the middle. Here's a breakaway with Guzan off his line. Florian Velo to the spot. Shot, score. Red Bulls in the fourth minute get the first goal of the match, and it is Florian Velo who tore his ACL in April of 2019 and missed almost the entire season, giving the Red Bulls the 1-0 lead.
And that was all the New York Red Bulls would need. Mike Conti on the call, a 1-0 victory Saturday night for the New York Red Bulls, and a tough start, Randy, to the MLS tournament happening down in Orlando for Atlanta United. They'll get a, thankfully, with the way this schedule is kind of set up, there's a quick turnaround. It's not like you got to wait a week or so to be able to play again. They'll get back at it again Thursday morning. You can hear it, of course, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But as you've heard Mike say throughout the sports flashes today, Randy, Atlanta United had their chances, especially in the second half. I thought the second half, they looked much, much better in the second half than they did in the first. They had a ton of opportunity. They just couldn't finish. And that was what was missing for them, was the inability to be able to get that break that they needed at some point in time in that second half to be able to get that good look and be able to get it to go in, and it didn't happen for them. So, but again, back in action early on Thursday morning. And, of course, you can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore on the call. SEC having a big meeting today where they're pulling in all their athletic directors from across the conference. They're all going to get together in person in Birmingham. Here's SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on what college football may look like this year.
Very high. I look at the numbers every day, and the important issue is not just numbers, it is trying to understand and comprehend, and that's where literally you want experts moving you away from the scroll or the titles at the bottom of a TV screen or the interviews of this expert or that, and find people. And we put a medical advisory group together in early April with the question of what do we have to do to get back to activity, and they've been a big part of the conversation. But the direct reality is not good.
Well, according to what Greg Sankey has said, he has, in his words, about 20 different proposals that are out there. So I'm guessing that's somewhere around 17 or 18 that they are going to be taking a look at and discussing today while they meet down in Birmingham. I feel like today's the most important day of the summer for the SEC. Nothing is going to be announced today, but Randy, I think what happens today is some groundwork gets laid in regards to the announcement that will be coming in the early part of August.
Oh, I agree with you, Chris. I think this is just where they're going to start as far as laying down some groundwork, like you said. And it's more important to me, I think, Chris, is that they're all going to be in a room together. I think you can get a lot more done. No, I won't say that. you can get a better sense for where a man is if you look him in the eye and not looking at him through a computer screen or whatever. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes, because I really do think that a lot of people are looking at how the SEC approaches this as far as what are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, go along with the Big Ten and go just a conference-only schedule, and how do you do that? And do you leave yourself some room on the back end because of different rivalries like Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Florida, those type of things? Can you leave yourself some room so you might be able to get those rivalry games in? But, I mean, this is the start. This is where they need to be at, and hopefully they can find a way to get some things done, because I think the Big Ten, this is just my personal opinion, I thought they jumped the gun a little bit. Because, I mean, you still had time, but just like the commissioner of the SEC said, they're running out of time. I think that's the biggest thing, is that they're trying to get something done, and it seems like they're running out of time. And then you look at different leagues canceling, you know, their seasons or moving them to the spring. I think it was, you know, just saw another league just go down. It's like, we're going to go into the spring. We know the JUCO is. And what about this, Chris? And I would like to get your opinion on it, is that the Texas, talking about they might not have high school football.
I'll believe it when I see it. I know how important that is in that state. And I just, you know, again, that was one. Wasn't that the superintendent of the Dallas Metro school system that was talking? So, that's his thought on it. In my opinion, I'll believe that when I see it, and it actually becomes official, and not just one school superintendent or school executive making that kind of a comment. When they roll it out there and they say statewide we're done, then I'll believe it. But that's something that is awfully, awfully important. The only state that I know so far that has canceled high school football that I have seen is New Mexico. I think New Mexico has canceled high school football. I think in Georgia they started last week able to scrimmage. And oh, yeah, Alabama
working on stuff, trying to get these kids more and more out there and everything. And, you know, as my son, you know, they're in their third phase, I think it is right now, of their training and their weight training. I know they were just able to do 7-on-7 and all those things. But, yeah, I mean, there's a big thing, because when we look at the other leagues or whatever trying to come back, football, baseball, basketball, there's a financial part that needs to be negotiated as far as the players and the organization or whatever you want to call it, the players in the league. In college, it's really the thing that you got to worry about with the players is just the safety precautions with them, because we know that, you know, the main thing about it is we know safety, but these schools are going to lose a lot of money, Chris. I mean, especially if there's no fans. And I think that the one weird sport would be without no fans would be college football, because of all the pageantry, because of the bands, right, because of the fans, because of the chants.
Right.
I think that would be the hardest one to be like, damn, what the hell is going on, man? I really do think that would be the one that it would be the weirdest to look at if they had no fans or anybody in the stands.
And Randy, I've seen a lot of people, you know, make comments like, the coronavirus doesn't spread except during out of conference games, and you know, kind of, but the reason why teams are going, or the reason why, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have both said we're only going to play conference games, it's all about being able to control, and that's what they're trying to do. We can control the protocols, we can control the testing within our own conference, we can control what happens if a player tests positive. We can control if we do have to have a team, because of the number of cases, has to miss a game, if we have to reschedule a game, because we're all in the same conference, we can kind of control that. That's the reason why Big Ten and the Pac-12 have said what they have said, and the reason why they're electing to go that way. It's for no other reason than they want to try to have control. I talked about this with Jason Longshore back on July the 3rd when we were in place of you and Andy that day. You know, if there has ever been the need for college football to have a commissioner or a czar, as Tim Brando has called for a number of years, this is the year to have it, because right now, You remember the Power Five, they have autonomy, so they can do whatever the heck they want to do, and nobody, either everybody plays along or nobody plays along. they're going to each individually be able to make their own decisions. And now, whether or not that is all for the good of the game, I don't know. But I think if there has ever been a need for one, the NCAA provides a little bit of guidance. But at the end of the day, this is a group of conference commissioners and university presidents that all make decisions based upon what they think is best for, you know, for their league. So we'll see what – nothing's going to come out of the SEC today. Again, I think they lay the groundwork, though, for an announcement that will probably come in the early part of August.
Hey, Chris, you remember a lot of times that it was especially when we had Fricky in with on College Football Game Time when we do it, whenever he would be in, and he would always talk about them breaking off and everybody breaking off and forming one giant conference. I mean, this right now, this just shows you the lack of leadership that they have in the NCAA. I think that, you know, we know it outside of FIFA is probably the second most corrupt there is on this planet. Right. But, I mean, when you look at how these things are going, it would have been so much easier, I think, if they could have found a way for all the head honchos of these conferences, especially the Power Five and the Group of Five, and get together and try and work some things out instead of just, you know, allowing each conference to do their own thing. I mean, I think that's why you're at the Discord where we don't know what the SEC is going to do. Now, maybe if they all had did it together and decided as a unit, oh, we're just going to play conference games at the beginning of the season, then I think you could have had something. But right now, it just seems like everything is in an uproar. And right now, we know that the SEC is not going to determine anything today or maybe even tomorrow. But they'll come down with something. And I'm just curious to see if it's going to line up with everything else so you can sit up there and say that maybe we can have a championship game and we all play the same amount of games.
Almost feel like there, too, there is a little bit of, I don't know, there's almost a competition. It's or a public relations battle, I guess, to see who can look the most responsible during all of this. I think that was behind the Big Ten's move to go ahead and make their announcement. And I think, too, you've got a new commissioner in the Big Ten, and Kevin Warren, who used to be the president of the Minnesota Vikings. Interestingly enough, he spent some time, I believe, in the SEC office under Mike Slive some years back before moving over into the NFL. Guy that's very well respected, but I also think he's a guy that said, you know, he took over for Jim Delaney, who a lot of people, and we talked about this on College Football Game Time on Saturdays off and on over the course of the last couple of years, the fact that Jim Delaney might have been the most powerful guy in college football as the commissioner of the Big Ten. And I think Kevin Warren wanted to, maybe there was a little bit of ego that played in there where he kind of said, look, guys, Jim Delaney may be gone, but I've still got some power here, too. And I think that may have factored in a little bit to his decision making as well. So we'll see. I don't think the SEC makes any decisions, though, for probably at least 3 weeks is what I think we'll be looking at before we actually see what the Southeastern Conference decides to do. Let's hop back over to the NFL real quick. Aaron Rodgers asking the same question that we are all asking. Will we have an NFL season?
I think top of mind is, are we going to have a season? I think there's a lot of things yet to be figured out. We're hopeful. It's with fans, and we can get all the testing procedures down the way they want it to for the utmost amount of safety. I think we're kind of just waiting for the league and the PA to figure some things out.
Randy, the NFL, as you know, they've never cared about player safety.
No.
I wonder, and again, Randy and I are going to talk about this in a little more detail coming up in about an hour or so from now, but how many guys would have to opt out before the league would look at canceling or postponing a season?
Oh, man, I don't know, Chris, because we haven't had one yet, and I think that was the thing that when you were looking at, you know, sports coming back as far as the NBA, MLB, who was going to go and who was not going to go. And I always said this, Chris, that I didn't think there were going to be enough players to opt out in order for a league not to come back. Now, getting sick, that's a totally different thing. I don't know. But right now, I just look at it as these players just want to know what's going on. And, you know, much like the NCAA, sometimes the NFL can drag their feet sometimes. They really can. And they do so many, as we like to say, like last minute deals to get something done. And are they at that point right now? Because they're meeting and they're talking about they want players to get in on the 28th, but yet there's no plan. Or at least there might not be a public plan, or at least there might not be a plan that the players are aware of that the owners are trying to get them. Because I think that's the whole thing right now is what the players are looking for. They're looking for more information about what's going to happen and how we're going to let these things go and how am I going to get back to my city and different things like that. And that has not been negotiated in yet as far as I don't think it has been. But I'm sure there are different protocols. I mean, we saw last week some of the list of some of the things that the owners were proposing to the players and what the players were proposing back to the owners. So we'll see how it goes, Chris. But right now, the NFL does a good job of getting stuff done when it's when we talk about deadlines at the last second hour. And so we'll see if they come up with something right now. Hopefully they will.
Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker this week. It is the Midday Show along with Randy McMichael here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. When we return, Chip Towers will join us. We normally would be at SEC Media Days this week, getting a chance to hear from all 14 SEC coaches. We'll talk about those Georgia Bulldogs with Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael, who is always extremely excited anytime we get a chance to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs.
It's been so long since I heard that. I just hope that the red coats can play it. And I know that, and I know especially, Chris, it hurt Wendy, the Gator girl back there. It hurt her to play it, too.
Normally this week we would be at SEC Media Days, but that's not happening. So we thought we'd try to bring you a little taste of SEC Media Days over the course of this week here on the Midday Show. And as we head out on the waitfor.com hotline and say hello to Chip Towers of the AJC. Chip covers Georgia football and has for a long time and kind enough to spend some time with us, Chip. The SEC Athletic Directors meeting today in Birmingham. What do you think gets decided today?
Well, you know, we're told not to expect any hard decisions to come out of that meeting, but, you know, you never really know. And I would, you know, imagine a chance to sit there and talk about the scenario face to face. There's a chance to move the needle a little bit, but, you know, kind of the tact that the SEC has taken and really, you know, college football as a whole, but especially the SEC is, you know, just time, pushing it out as long as you possibly can before you have to make a decision. You know, that has always been the 1st of August, you know, according to Greg McGarrity and other people. So, you know, based on that scenario, you got a couple of weeks. But, you know, they got to be making contingency plans. And then, you know, as other conferences continue to make moves, that, you know, that's going to affect you. I mean, you know, supposedly the ACC is making the same consideration now that the Big Ten and I can't remember if it's Pac-12 or the Big 12 is made on conference-only schedules. Well, obviously that's a domino effect. I mean, Georgia has two ACC opponents on their schedule, so if you take them off, then now you got to reconsider what you're doing. And I think that right now is the most likely scenario, you know, based on everything that I'm seeing and reading. This is just Chip talking, but, you know, I'm not very confident about any kind of on-time start. And so if you're not starting on time, now you're talking about a truncated or a delayed or a postponed scenario, and then that gets all weird. So, you know, right now I hear a lot about conference only and maybe starting in later September, October, or something like that. And then, of course, we all have heard the scenarios about doing it in the spring. So, you know, I don't know. They're obviously playing it very close to the vest. You know, obviously, you know, all the other conferences are making decisions as well, maybe this week, and that may force the SEC's hands before it's said and done.
Chip, what were your initial reaction to that? Because I thought that it was a possibility that maybe the Big Ten jumped the gun because of the fact they had maybe a little bit more time. What was your initial thought about that? And do you think that the SEC might have to just go that way so maybe things can line up for a championship game at the end of this this season?
Well, that's what it comes down to. Yeah, Randy. I mean, I think the Big Ten was early. I don't know how all that came out to start with, but I mean, obviously you got Ohio State shutting down their preseason workouts, and they're obviously a powerhouse in that league, the power in that league right now. And when they start doing that, you know, that's going to have an effect on everybody else. But, yeah, I mean, I see a scenario, and now exactly what it looks like, there's a lot of debate about that, and that might be what they're in that room in Birmingham trying to figure out is, all right, exactly what this looks like. You know, what does a conference-only schedule look like? Are you still playing the eight you were going to play and leave it at that, or do you expand it to 10? I mean, I don't see any expansion of games myself, and just spitballing here again. I mean, everything is so fluid, but, you know, the one that makes most sense to me is, like, you stick with the eight conference games that you already have on your schedule. Everybody has their same conference schedule, and then you skip a week between every other one, right? I mean, so you game, and then you're off. You game, and then you're off, and the game, and then you're off, so that you're able to, do all the testing and everything in between, and supposedly 10 days is a number that they can work with. We're learning from the PGA Tour and other places. You know, the bottom line, I don't want to lead anybody astray because, you know, it's not like, you know, obviously Greg McGarrity is my connection, you know, to Georgia and to the SEC. I don't have a direct line into Greg Sankey or into Mark Emmert. And so you're hearing things through them. And very close to the vest right now, right? Very close to the vest. For a while there, we got a lot of talk. We got a lot of optimistic talk. But clearly now we're at crunch time. And, so everybody's, you know, especially in the SEC, they're really trying to toe the line and stay in protocol with Greg Sankey and not get outside the box like you've seen in some of the other leagues in terms of what people's opinions are.
Chip Towers covers the Georgia Bulldogs for the AJC. You can find Chip on Twitter at Chip Towers AJC, and he's with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to turn the focus now to on the field, Chip. In your opinion, is this the most talented team that Kirby Smart's had since he's been at Georgia?
No, I don't think that. It's the best defense he's had, I believe, based on what I'm seeing. I actually had a good talk earlier today with you guys may have talked to him before, Jimmy Himes, a longtime SEC scribe out of Tennessee, does a radio show up there. And, you know, we always get together and talk around this time of year. And, you know, he and I both agree to give Georgia the nod over Alabama for best defense in the league. And that obviously when you're talking about that, you're talking about the best, you know, defense in the country. And I love Georgia's defense. And if we ever get to football, I mean, that's what they're going to hang your hat on this year. Now, offense, you know, the offense, everybody, you know, kind of wants to, and it's easy to see. I mean, the talent bleed on that side of the ball was real. There's no question about it. But, I don't know. That Georgia's recruited well, and they, you know, it's kind of, it's a changing of the guard time on that side of the ball, and it'll be interesting to see. Right now, if you talk around, you know, this would have been SEC Media Day, so everybody's going to be saying, you know, who you like in the East and who you like in the West. And, you know, Florida's the sexy pick right now. You know, for the first time in 3 years, a lot of people are going against Georgia for that Eastern Division. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I still like Georgia, I think, but I get it on Florida. The general argument you'll get from most of the guys that I've talked to about it is quarterback. And, you know, there's people that they say they like Kyle Trask over Jamie Newman. You know, they saw Jamie Newman at Wake Forest, and he was inconsistent. He had shoulder issues. But, you know, I'm hearing good stuff out of Georgia's camp, such as it is, what you can hear about Newman. He's obviously a terrific athlete, a big, strong guy, which I think is going to be important in an O-line transition. And, you know, I really like Georgia's skill guys around him. I think it's just, they did lose a lot of guys, but I think it's a lot of other guys' turn, you know, like Zamir White, like James Cook. I love the transfer of Trey McKitty at the tight end position. I'd love to hear more from Randy about that if he knows much about him. And, you know, obviously you got Pickens to build around outside, but, you know, Demetrius Robertson and Dominic Blaylock, Kyaris Jackson, a couple of the freshmen they're excited about so far. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely a Florida-Georgia joint on that side. I think there's a pretty precipitous drop-off there. I'm not on the Tennessee bandwagon in the East. I just they're going to be better. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be a tough out. But they're not championship caliber. Maybe 8 wins, and the West Division is going to be again, if we can ever get it, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, that's Alabama. Everybody's pointing to Alabama, but don't count out LSU totally just yet. You know, they got some great parts over there. I'm starting to believe a little bit, and they've got some really good pieces over there to build around. But after that, I think there's a pretty big drop off on both sides of the league. I think Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and Florida are going to feast on those, on the lower sides of each division. If we can ever get the football, right, fellas?
Yeah, if we're going to get for a quick question real quick. You talking about the offense. JT Daniels just tweets out that the NCAA has granted him immediate eligibility to play this year. So do you think that mixes up in what's going to go on with the quarterback position this year, Chip?
Well, I mean, here's what I like about it. Yeah, yes, definitely. You know, we were going to have to see how this worked out. Now, he's still got an injury situation. He's overcoming a knee injury. I would imagine, right. I mean, that was the first game of last year. So he ought to be pretty good to go here. Pretty soon. We've seen a video of him, going back full speed and throwing off that leg. So I would imagine he'll be held out of contact for a good while before they'll turn him loose. But absolutely. And this is what I like about the quarterback position. You know, Kirby doesn't fool around. You know, if there's not competition there, he's going to get it from somewhere. First and foremost, Kirby Smart believes in competition within the team at the position. And suddenly you've got a pretty crowded room there, and, you know, none of these guys are chump change, really. Obviously I think Newman's the guy. He was recruited to do that. But JT Daniels is a wild card. How Kirby pulled that off, I don't know, but he is definitely there as an insurance policy and or to put heat on Jamie Newman and let him know that it ain't just his job, you know. He's going to have to win it in camp. And, you know, Stetson Bennett, you know, how he figures in the whole thing, I would put him firmly at third behind JT Daniels on that depth chart. Now, JT's got a lot to learn. And then Dwan Mathis and Carson Beck, you have five solid competitors at that position. I like it. I mean, I believe that competition brings the best out of it. But I like Jamie Newman a lot. What I've seen and heard about him, what I've read about him, playing at Georgia is a whole lot different than playing at Wake Forest. He was asked to carry a big, big load at Wake Forest, both literally and physically in the offense. So I think him having a chance to come here and spread the ball around a little bit more, plus having the ability, I don't think you're going to see Georgia all of a sudden go to a bunch of quarterback run, but I think the fact that the quarterback can run just off the zone read and just evading pass rush can mean some really big plays for Georgia. So I like it. I like Georgia at quarterback, and I'm not sold on the Kyle Trask over Jamie Newman or anybody else in the East for that matter. That's where I got to see, some football get played before I start really feeling strongly about as everybody else is saying about Florida.
Chip, it's good to talk some football on the field, man. Appreciate you giving us some time, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you again. Encourage folks to check out Chip Towers online, AJC.com. You can find him on Twitter, @ChipTowersAJC. Three damn good questions. We'll get to those when we get back to it here on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, the Midday Show here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Glad to have you along with us today. It's time to get into three damn good questions brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Dial 678 ESOG now.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
What's going on, B?
Hey, what's up, man? I appreciate the little jingle coming in there from Randy. Usually we get it from Andy.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to work on some things. Oh, also, guys, remember, we will, top of the hour, we got what's trending, but we do have our AMA, so make sure you guys see your questions either to at Wendy Radio, at Brian_Gebhardt, and yes, you can send them to me also, RandyMack81, also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. What it is, B?
Hey, if the coronavirus never existed and SEC Media Days actually happened this week in Atlanta as scheduled, what would have been the biggest buzz topic, and what player would have been the fun personality this week?
The biz buzz. I think the big buzz topic would have been probably, I think Jamie Newman would have been probably the biggest because of the fact that he's at the quarterback position. The funniest one, the funny. I don't know who, I mean, I don't know who personality comes out anymore because everybody wants to be an individual now, B. And so, I mean, is there a funny, I don't know. I'll tell you what it would have been. It would have been the Mississippi, the coaches in the state of Mississippi, Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin would have definitely been the show because I think a lot of people know this and you've been there. I've never been to SEC Media Days, although I was supposed to go a couple of years ago, but that's all right. It is what it is. But I look at it as a fact that, you know, the whole thing with SEC Media Days is a lot of fun. You get to see the coaches. You get to see, you know, Nick Saban and him walking through and him his conglomerate of his groupies that they're standing in the lobby waiting for him to walk down the stairs. But I don't know what would be the biggest story. I know it would have to be something with the quarterback. Of course, you know, with LSU losing all that they've lost, I mean, you're in a situation where you up the creek right now if you're LSU. But I wouldn't count on LSU just like Chip Towers just told us because of the fact is that, you know, it's, you know, they got a lot of talent down there. And I don't think anybody will ever, you know, try to – you know, no one would ever try. Well, of course, it'd be another great season, but the season that Joe Burrow had last year was just unreal. It'd be hard to see somebody duplicate that.
How much do you think JT Daniels is actually going to try to push Jamie Newman for playing time this year?
Oh, it'll be interesting because if he's a competitor, which I hope he is, I'm sure he's going to try and come in and take his job. I'm sure that, you know, he didn't come here to back up Jamie Newman. And you remember when we first find this out, B, that our whole thing was like, what as far as would he be eligible to play right away? Now that we know that he is, hell yeah, he coming here to play. He ain't coming here to sit behind Jamie Newman. Now, does Jamie Newman probably have a leg up? Probably. But because of the pandemic, how much of a leg up does he have? Because I'm assuming, this is just an assumption on my part, is that, you know, JT probably got the playbook and everything, and he's been able to keep up and probably be in those Zoom meetings and everything, you know. But, you know, I mean, hell no, he ain't coming here to sit behind Jamie Newman. I think he's coming here to compete for a job.
If he's eligible to play, if I'm sorry, Brian, but if he's eligible to play, Randy, he's like you said, he didn't come here to stand on the sidelines, wear a ball cap, and hold a clipboard. I mean, I think he come to play, and you bring up the point about I think those two guys both come in almost even, so to speak.
No. I ain't going to say even. I think Jamie probably has the upper hand. I think Jamie's a better player, too. But, I mean, I would. Hey, Chris, man, it's all about comp. I ain't come here for that. And what do we know about, you know, all these youngers nowadays? Who's going to be the first one to transfer? That's all I'm going to say. Who's going to be the first one? Because you know somebody leaving, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll happen. We'll find out. We'll probably find out before the end of September.
Chris, the question I asked a few minutes ago when you dropped with us there, what's the biggest buzz topic that would have been happening this week at SEC Media Days if it would have happened as scheduled, as planned here in Atlanta?
I think it would have been the return of Lane Kiffin. And for that matter, the return of Mike Leach as well. Leach never been a head coach in the conference, but he was once a coordinator. And I think that would have been, I think the two Mississippi schools would have been all the talk going into this week. I think Georgia landing JT Daniels and Jamie Newman would have been big too, though. But I think the two Mississippi schools would have been where a lot of the talk would have centered.
What does Devontae Freeman's future hold after news came down that his agent, Kristen Campbell, has cut ties with him, according to Mike Silver of the NFL Network? And reportedly Freeman's negligence to contact his agent and work out a deal and trying to work one out himself is what led to this. This is according to the report. But what do you think the future holds for Devontae now?
I don't know, man. We talked about this in the NFL No Huddle. I think that, you know, Devontae can help a football team. And now when you read the story, you know, very rarely do you see the agent lead the player. He very agent, I mean, sorry, very rarely do you see the agent dissolve the relationship between their clients. Usually the client moving on in somewhere like that. This means that it got to a point where it was personal. And I know how Devontae feels about that family, that Campbell family. I know how close he is to Uncle Luke and his wife. But this is about business right now. And obviously he's not doing something right on the business aspect or don't feel like he's getting the right offer. But she left him. He didn't leave her. So, I mean, that just shows that it's something personal right now. And hopefully Devontae can get a shot, because I really do think that he can still play football as long as he's not the lead dog.
If the guy's not willing to allow you to represent him, Randy, yeah. Why represent yeah. him? You know, yeah. why am I going to go work on your behalf if you're trying to circumvent me? That does that does neither one of us any good, especially when you're talking about a guy that's coming off 3.6 yards per carry season last year. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, Drew said the same thing to AB when he was going through his mess. But yeah, this ain't a good look for Devontae somebody, he can find an agent. I mean, he more like he down in Miami, he'll probably call up Drew and Drew represent him.
You guys briefly touched on this earlier, but with Brian McCann retiring, Nick Markakis and Felix Hernandez opting out of the season, Freddie Freeman potentially out for an extended period, and Cole Hamels maybe not healthy enough to make the roster, where is the veteran leadership on this team going to come from?
Wow, I think that's
leader.
I think that's a great question, Brian, especially when you consider how young, especially on the pitching side. Because, you know, back in the day, it was kind of understood that Chipper took care of the position players and Smoltz took care of the pitchers from a leadership standpoint. You've got so many of those young guys now. I thought that was what Cole Hamels would bring. And if there's a way that he can still be in the clubhouse, I don't know, Randy, you speak to it better than I. How much can a guy who's not playing, how effective can he be as a leader?
It just depends on who the guy is. I think it's more likely than anything. And, I think it's going to boil down to like Snick and his leadership, you know, because he's known so many of these guys since they were young pups in the minor leagues trying to make it up to where they are. I look at certain guys as they look like they got quality leadership. Like, I think Ozzie Albies has something about him as far as his leadership ability. Of course, you're going to have to look. I mean, Freddie is the leader of the other team. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Ronald Acuna or anything, but he's still a youngin'. I just feel like Ozzie seems a little bit more mature for his age, that he might be a guy that can take that lane. But I think the ultimate leadership is going to come from Brian Snicker, because he knows his team. He knows, you know, how these guys tick and all these things, until you get a Freddie Freeman back or you get a Cole Hamels back. Because even though Cole's a vet, he just got here, you know what I mean? And then he just got here, and he got hurt before he got here. So they really didn't get a chance to see and meet and know who this guy is. So they'll figure it out. But right now, I mean, who's the elder statesman is it Folty? Can a reliever be it? Because I think, you know, you look at Mark Melanson, you look at that face, he got that mean, you know, he got that daddy don't spank me face. So maybe he might be the dude. I don't know.
What about Dansby? Dansby's been around.
I was going to say Dansby.
He's been around, and he's not a spring chicken anymore in baseball years. What is he? He's like 27 now, right? 27, 28?
He should be. It seems like he's been around forever. He should be. He might be. Who knows? Wendy, what you playing? What's you playing? The computer not working?
That'll do it for three damn good questions. Brian Gebhardt helping us out. It's brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678-ESOG now. 678-ESOG now. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. Take a look around what's making news today all across the world of sports next. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.